It's a real privilege to be here with you folks this morning, Dennis and Patty Garrison. We were members of Wycliffe Bible Translators, but we serve with JARS, which is the aviation and media and a lot of other stuff, a lot of computer stuff. Kind of the backbone, if you will. Basically, what we used to say is that Wycliffe is the sending organization, recruiting and sending. SIL, Summer Institute of Linguistics, is another partner. Those are the ones that go out and do the translation work, the literacy and the linguists and the anthropologists to understand the culture of the languages to make it culturally appropriate for God's word to be in their language. And then JARS comes along and says, hey, whatever you guys need to do your work, we'll take care of that. It's changed a little bit over the years, but that's pretty much basic premise that we still operate on. So the point is that we believe that God's word is strategic to people's lives and their ability to know God. And so with that, I'd just like to start off with, the second slide, yeah. With a little section of scripture out of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. I want to read this, if you'll follow along. But as for you, first of all, he says, Timothy was a young believer. Paul mentored him and took him on a journey with him, one of his long journeys. A couple of unique things about Timothy. A lot of people feel that he's probably a teenager at this point, or at least in his early 20s. His father was a Greek, but his mother was a Jewish woman and a believer, and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois were their names. And so he had a strong upbringing in the sacred scriptures. And so Paul, in his letter, the second letter to Timothy here, that towards the end of the book, he's giving him a kind of a final charge. And this is just one little segment of that charge. He says, verse 14, but as for you, talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he says this very famous verse that we've all heard a lot. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this charge that Paul was giving him, just this portion of it here, really gives us what Paul's emphasis was, that the word, the scriptures that you've heard about, he says that you have learned and have become convinced of, because say he was brought up as a young boy knowing this stuff. So Paul gets him and just mentors him and takes him on in ministry. And then I think really helps him learn how to apply all of this, and he gives him charge. He told him for one thing in his life to go, and Paul left Ephesus, but he's left Timothy in Ephesus. Now, you're going to be the pastor here. There was a lot of weird stuff going on in Ephesus. But he's telling him here, because you know those things from whom you've learned it, that is the scriptures and himself as a mentor, how from infancy, just when he was young, you knew the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Scriptures are what? Are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, with an emphasis on just that portion of Scripture, I'd like to ask you a few questions. What if you did not have a Bible or any scripture in your language? In fact, what if you didn't have any books in your language at all? What if your language had never even been written down? There's no alphabet in your language. Do you think that any of this would affect your ability to know God and to know what he has for you in your life in a personal way? Well, this situation exists today for millions of people on the earth.
There was a young man whose name was William Cameron Townsend. Cameron Townsend had been deeply affected by the scripture in his life, and he wanted to make sure that other people had God's word in it also. So in 1917, he took a break from college and worked with the Bible Society and went to Guatemala to sell scriptures. He was out walking around one day with his translator, who was Catechel, and an old Catechel gentleman walked up to him and said, you know, he looked at the book and he says, I've heard about this book you're selling. And he looked at it some more and he says, but you know, if your God is so great, how come he doesn't speak my language? That very statement made a huge impact in the life of William Cameron Townsend, and he couldn't escape what he had heard that Catechel man say. So Townsend, without any linguistic training, he wasn't even a college graduate, went ahead and began to do translation for the Catechel people. In 10 years, without computers or anything else, he had completed a translation of the scriptures. So in 1931, the New Testament was dedicated among the Catechel believers. And today there are hundreds of churches, there are Bible schools, there are schools and medical work that exist in this language group because of Townsend's translation.
Back in those days, Uncle Cam, we affectionately call him Uncle Cam, thought that there were probably about maybe 300 to 500 languages in the world. He hadn't really done any major research. We've discovered an awful lot since then. And we'll see that there are today, these are 2018 statistics brought up towards the end of the year. There are currently 7,361 known living languages in our world. Now, we're in the 21st century now. What blows me away is that next number. There are only 683 of those over 7,000 languages in our world today that have a complete Bible, an Old and a New Testament is completed. There are another 1,534 languages that have a New Testament or portions thereof. But there are still 2,163 languages that don't have any scripture in any way, shape, or form. Most of those languages have never even been written down yet. There's no alphabet, anything. So that leaves us with approximately 1.5 million people that still don't have the full Bible. And this is something that we are trying to change by God's grace and his power. A little short video clip will highlight this just a little bit more.
One of those couples that was very, very impacted by Cameron Townsend was Florence and Titus Nichols. Florence and Titus Nichols were translators for the Aguaruna people. Aguarunas are located deep, deep, deep in the Amazon jungle of Peru. They had begun their translation process living among the people there and had been in their village for about 8 months when they need to come out of the village for medical help. Florence was expecting their first child. And so the first and only airplane that was present in Peru was not able to meet their needs at that time because it was down for maintenance. So they had run out of food and they had to come out. So they spent several days coming down the river by canoe. But then the boatman got drunk and lost the propeller off the motor, and so that was no longer an option. So from there, they walked on a trail, and they walked for a number of days. They hiked 4 days on a trail. Then after that, they were able to get mules, and they rode for a day and a half on mules. And after that, they finally got to a road, and there they loaded on a big old truck. Now, I'm not talking the nice pickup trucks that are parking out in their parking lot here. We're talking, you know, very large, old, where they stood in the back of the bed of the truck. And they finally arrived at the jungle center on Christmas Day. And when Uncle Cam heard their story, he said they found out they had been traveling 21 days to get to the center. And he said, and this is his quote, no more of our translators should go to the jungles of Peru until they can be assured of adequate transportation services. Townsend had already been thinking about the idea that we needed to have aircraft to transport us. Now, this is back in the 40s. And he began to look for a way that we could use airplanes to be able to move translation teams in and about the jungle. And that was the birth of JARS. In 1948 was when JARS was officially born. And it was born to provide translation and communication services and for SIL and Wycliffe teams. Today, we have aviation services in Indonesia, where we've served, Papua New Guinea, where our children serve, Australia, Brazil, Cameroon, and Tanzania. And then we work with other organizations. We don't work just alone, but we partner with other organizations doing their training and working with them as well.
Andrew and Ann Sims were translators in Indonesia. Papua, Indonesia. Okay. Used to be called Irian Jaya when we served there, and now it's Papua. So they worked with the Ketembang people. Andrew has been here in years past. I don't know if a lot of you have heard him speak. He's a very dynamic speaker and really gives a lot of really cool stuff about what he experienced for their 19 or 20 years with the Ketembang people. But he and Ann brought some officials from the government out to the village one time. Well, the village headman and his board of directors, you might say, heard about that, and they said, so they prepared some stuff. And when they got there, Andrew was quite surprised when the four or five of these men greeted these officials from the country, who were looking at, you know, examining what Andrew and Ann had been doing there, trying to make sure it was appropriate for these foreigners to be doing this stuff with these people out in the village in the jungle. So four of these guys showed up and passed out some gifts to them. And then the Andrew translated for the headman of the village. And he said this, and I'd just like to read it so I don't get it wrong. He said, before, this is a direct translation, before the gospel came, he was talking to all of these officials, before the gospel came, we were like dead men. Although we walked, ate, and breathed, it was like we were dead. In other words, our life didn't mean a whole lot to them. And then they presented these gifts. Three gifts were presented to these officials, a set of bows and arrows, a hand-woven bag that they made out of jungle materials, and a stone axe. They still use stone axes in some places in the world now. And then he explained, you know, another translation, you know how it was safe for you to come today and walk around here? It hasn't always been so. And without Andrew's working with us and our belief in the gospel, it would not be possible now. So these are people living out in the jungle talking to government officials of this country. And then he pulled out one arrow and he stuck it up, and they make arrows for different purposes, some for killing animals, some for killing people, and some for killing birds and small animals and big animals. So he pulled out one and it says, this arrow was designed to kill people. And then he took a stone axe and he held it up and he said, after we kill someone, we needed the stone axe to break apart the ligaments and joints to cut the body into pieces. And then he finally held up the string bag. And he said, and then we used the woven string bag to take it home. We didn't just dispose of it either, we ate it. Now we no longer practice these things. All of these items are now used for peaceful means, he said. We are thankful that Andrew has come and that we have received God's word, which teaches us the right way to live. And then he added, now we use this string bag, holding it up in his hand to carry God's word. And that was a powerful message to those men that day. The Apostle Paul, I'd like for you to turn with me in another section of scripture, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In Paul's letter to the Roman church, he explains some very important reasons for the need to have God's word in every language. He says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. What does scripture do for you? Does it do anything for you at all in your daily walk? There are millions of people in our world today that don't have any hope. Now, one of the things that Paul says here that is so strategic in verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, not just to teach us, but through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide us, we might have what? Hope. Do you have hope? Do you believe the word of God that's been written for us and given to us in our language? I haven't ever counted it, but I've heard people tell me that there are over 400 translations of God's word in the English language alone. 400. I only have my U version on my phone, probably 25 or 30 of those downloaded. And we think about the people in the world still that haven't heard one word of God's written word for them yet. What does it do for you when you get up in the morning and you read your Bible? Do you get excited at all? Does it do anything for you? There's a little video clip that I want to show. Now, if there is no sound on this one, you're going to still see the impact of this. This is a clip that is about the 1,000th New Testament of the Northern Calico
Uganda,
people.
Where we've just had the dedication of the 1,000th New Testament that Wycliffe and SIL have been involved in. This is the Calico language of South Sudan. They're a refugee community here in Uganda. They have now received the gospel of peace. They're looking forward to peace in their country so that they can go back and share it with the rest of their people. New Testament, the first 500 took our first 67 years. The second 500 has only taken 17 years. It shows what God is doing to get his word to the peoples of the world.
You ever get that excited about God's word? These people just received it for the very first time last, I believe it was in October in Uganda. The fellow that hosted that little video there, Russ Hertzman, we joined Wycliffe at the same time we did, a long time ago. But the emphasis I want to make with you in final here is that God's word brings life and it brings hope. And we would just ask you to pray for last October. I took on a new position after 20 years of maintenance training coordinator. They taught me into doing recruiting. So I'm a full-time recruiter now. And our fields overseas, I ask our guys overseas, how many people do you need and what do you need them to do? And I put a spreadsheet in Google Docs and I ask them to just renew that at any point in time that you can. And currently there are 81 needs for people in the next 5 years. About half of those are for aviation, strategic pilots, mechanics, and avionics people. The other half are for managers, stockroom people, all other kinds of roles. But 81 people, would you pray with us that God would send those 81 people within the next 5 years in order for us to be able to continue working? Because a lot of our folks now are beginning to retire. But we need lots of new people. So just think about the excitement that those people had when they received God's word in their language for the first time, the Calico people. and think about, I've been charged ever since I've seen this, to just think about when I open up the Word in the morning, what does it do for me? Do I get excited at all opening it up? I hope you do. Thank you.
Yeah, Dennis, Pat, thank you for sharing. Thank you very, very much. Beloved, just for a moment, take your scriptures, your Bible, the ones that we are privileged, very privileged to have. Brother, you have impressed upon me just a moment here as we've been sitting here. You're so right. It's so just common for us in the English-speaking world to take for granted such basic gifts. Amen? Aren't you glad you know how to read? Thank a teacher, amen? And kids, when you're involved with Awana, with that program, how it just is wonderful to teach God's Word and put it in your heart. It's just a wonderful thing that further enhances the truth and the availability of God's Word to us. But in Revelation, go all the way back to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, starting with verse 8. The Lamb has taken the scroll, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, verse 5 there. And he has taken the scroll. Verse 8, Revelation 5, 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each with a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang this new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you are slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The quote that was just showed up here a moment ago, that the best missionary is the Bible in a nation's mother tongue. Amen. But the best one to convey or to deliver or to bring that Bible to other people, beloved, is us. It really is. I don't remember the scripture. It's from another section. I think Paul's letter, maybe Corinthians, where a pastor once preached a sermon and many others have preached it since, because it's when you got a good idea, you might as well use it again, right? And that is that, you know, we're sometimes the only Bible people ever read. Well, that's true. I mean, we're the living Word of God now that Christ is in our lives. And what do they see? What do they read? I recently was at a wedding, a very small little personal wedding. And there was, standing with the groom, his friend, first time and perhaps the only time I ever meet him. And he was the classic image or the classic person, the millennial, the young millennial. Tall, slim, dressed in really sharp stuff, very tight fitting because he didn't have to worry about this bulge like older guys like I have, and very well mannered and kept, but obvious that he was very nervous around me, a pastor, with the open Bible there. Our millennials, not all, but I mean, our country who's been so exposed to God's word has had so much privilege and so much provision, seems to be so resistant, so skeptical of Christ, of Christianity, of the things of the scriptures. But as we interacted for a while I was there, there seemed to be just a lessening of tension, a lessening of just a guard coming down. And it wasn't because of anything I necessarily said out of the Bible. It was because of just interacting as a person with another person or people there who that were there. And the idea is that, beloved, we got to bring God's word and Jesus to people face to face, one to one, in our personal relationships and encounters every day in every way. Now, that's how God reached us. He reached us over a matter of time, with a matter of different people, with a matter of different opportunities, perhaps with a matter of different ministries and programs. God built line by line by line, precept upon precept, layer upon layer, until finally the Holy Spirit took to our hearts and really brought the gospel to us. And let's never forget that, beloved, that that's what God charges us to do tomorrow, right now, tomorrow, today. That's still our mission and our goal. And then to look beyond just here and then here, all through the world. And so we'll conclude with prayer in a moment, and we'll dismiss you on to the classes and things for the Sunday school hour. But as Dennis, you asked us to pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest for the ministry of Jars and Wycliffe and many other needs as well. And what would God have us to do? So, beloved, understand, truly, I am convinced of this. I know this. This week, if we're sensitive, this week, if we're willing, this week, if we want it to happen, if we'll ask God for it to happen this week, he will give us opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone. He will give us opportunity to do something in his name, for his sake, for the sake of others, that will make an impression, that will be a witness, that will be a contrast, that will make the difference between darkness and life, and perhaps despair and hope. Are we willing to be his vessels for that? Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Dennis and Pat's lives, Lord, called and committed to this ministry that you've given them, and for so many others like them. Lord, many of them will be gathered here in this building this evening. And when they are, Lord, we pray you will again bless them, that you'll recharge them, you'll just encourage them and give them direction for personal needs and for ministry needs. And then, Lord, also we pray, as, Lord, one generation passes and is gathered to you in heaven, that you will call the next generation, our generation and the one after us, to know you, to be saved. And then, Lord, also to, Lord, have your calling to serve, whether it's here locally or wherever in this world you direct and provide for that. And then, God, we ask you, Lord, please, may your word go forth. May we cherish it for the privilege it is to know it and to know you through it. May you grant that privilege to others, and may you direct us, Lord, into what role and part we have in that. And then, God, we also ask you to please do work your work through us. Please live your life through us and conform us to the image of your son. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will, through us, make a difference for other people's lives. Thank you, Lord. How could we ever stand or sit for a moment and recount the many blessings, the many provisions, the many things through other people, other Christians that you have built into our lives and blessed us with? God, you have blessed us. Now we pray, please use us to be a blessing to this world and to this country, to this community, we pray. Now, Father, as we pray that you will work through us, then we pray, Lord, again, meanwhile, you'll take care of our needs. Meanwhile, the issues, the things that are perplexing us, perhaps holding us back, God, you're well aware of. There are so many things we can't do anything about. We're, Lord, totally dependent on you to change circumstances or provide things that just aren't there or any of those things. Yet, promise, Lord, that when we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then these other things are fulfilled and provided. So, Lord, we pray that you will send us forth sensitive and yearning and longing and seeking to serve you well. And also send us forth with confidence, with peace, that you will provide and that you care. And we're so thankful. So we pray this, Lord. We're thankful that we can. We pray this and ask this together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.